John 12, 37 to 41. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. John 12, 37 to 41. Now there's a wealth of doctrine here, a depth of doctrine here, that I cannot possibly fully explore in this short discourse. And yet I want to keep to that format and simply give a short discourse, a brief discourse, on these very important verses. I hope it will be profitable, even though it's brief. Jesus has finished his public ministry, and this is a kind of resume, a kind of a assessment, looking back, a gathering together of the results, as I say, an assessment of this public ministry. And one thing we can say about the results of Jesus' public ministry, by and large, we would have to say it was really amounted to what we might call a failure. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs, think of it, making the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, walking on water, turning water into wine, raising the dead, and so on and so on, curing the paralytic. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, it wasn't just hearsay or anecdotal or secondhand. They had seen it, they had heard it. They knew the dead were raised. They knew the blind could see. They knew the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak, the lame man could leap as an hart. They knew it. They knew it. Even though after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs, it just wasn't one or two, all of them, in their presence, they still would not believe in him. They refused to believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. It's not that they read Isaiah the prophet and said, we will not believe in him to fulfill that word. Not at all. But that is the explanation. God had foreseen it. He had prophesied it through Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah said it for himself. But he was a prophet. And these are the virtual words of Christ. And it's the summary of Christ's ministry here. Lord, who has believed what I've preached and taught? Who has believed the miracles? Who has turned as a result of it? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then John adds this. For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I will heal them. Quoting Isaiah 6. And so we have two quotations from the prophet Isaiah. And let's be honest about it. At first glance, they seem mutually contradictory. In 1, Isaiah 53, the responsibility is laid fair and square upon the hearers. Who has believed? Who has believed? They're responsible. And yet in Isaiah 6, the sovereignty of God, the power of God is seen. He has blinded their eyes. He has deadened their hearts. And these two seem to be mutually contradictory. Even in John's gospel here, we have in verse 37, they would not believe. We have in verse 39, they could not believe. Verse 37, they would not believe, laying the responsibility where it should be laid. Where is that? On the will of the man, of the hearer. In verse 39, showing the glory, the sovereignty, the power, the absolute sovereignty of God. They could not, the inability of man. So we have the inability of man, and yet the unwillingness of man. We have the responsibility of man, they would not, and the sovereignty of God, they could not. And this is consistent throughout Scripture. John 5:40, you will not come to me, will. John 3, condemned for unbelief. Luke 19, verse 14, we will not have this man to reign over us. And then in Romans 8, 5-8, we have this. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to man. He cannot know them. So we have the inability, the powerlessness of man on the one hand. But on the other hand, we have the responsibility, the willfulness of man on the other. What do we do with these two things? What do I do with them? Well, some men, in their system, they must have a consistent system in which they can explain. So they play down one or the other. Some men emphasize the responsibility. They would call it the free will of man. Others emphasize the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the glory of God in his sovereignty, the predestinating power of God. What do? I hold both. I preach both. I believe both. I stand for both. I hold both before men. We get this in the life of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. He hardened his heart and God hardened his heart. God hardened his heart and he hardened his heart. You would not, verse 37. You could not, verse 39. Now, this is what I see in this passage. Now, my friend, I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to myself. If you're an unbeliever, you will not come to Christ, will you? The Jews wouldn't. They wouldn't come to Christ. You can present all the evidence, the miracles, the signs Jesus did. I can preach the gospel. I can preach it with all the power and passion I can find. You can have the greatest, clearest expositions of Scripture that show the most wonderful promises of Christ. But you will not come to Christ. How often I would have gathered you, said Christ, but you would not. You were not willing. But I know also, unbeliever, you don't have the ability to come. John 6 says this. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 2. They tell us, you cannot come unless the Father which sent me draw you. They cannot come, said Christ to sinners. So what do I do with these 2 points? I drive you to them both. I speak about your will. You are responsibility. I speak about your inability, but you are still responsible. For those who reply to me, well, it's down to God's sovereignty. He is the sovereign one. There's nothing I can do. Then I take you to verse 37. You will not believe. And that is said by way of accountability. That is said to show you, you are responsible. In the day of judgment, God will say to you, you would not. You heard the gospel. I believe I can say, he would say, you heard the gospel through that David Gay that day. He spoke on this very text, and you still would not believe. So those of you who make God's sovereignty your excuse, the will nots are yours. But for those who want to talk about their power, oh, well, I'll come when I like. I'm not one to, oh, wait for a bit. I'll come when I like. Well, I'll come another day. Then I say to you, verse 39, your dawdling and dithering and playing. You're actually playing with fire, my friend. You are in the hands of God. And I will say to you, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Remember 36 in our passage here, John chapter 12 and verse 36. When Jesus had finished speaking, he left and hid himself from them. You see, you say, well, I can come when I like. I'll come next week, perhaps, or in a few years' time. My friend, you're playing with fire. Come now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. So what do I make of this would-nots and could-nots? I hold both, as I say, in tension. I preach and declare both. I see both here. And it's all for the glory of God. Romans 9:17. One last thought here. Jesus is the carpenter of Nazareth, isn't he? So he is. Even after Jesus. Jesus the carpenter, yes. Yes, Jesus the carpenter. But then in verse 41, we're told Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Where did he see Jesus' glory? Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord Almighty, Jehovah, the great and almighty God himself. Jesus is that great and almighty God. I once looked at a very important book published by the Jehovah's Witnesses on all the fundamentals. And I looked to see what this book said about Isaiah, about this quotation from Isaiah here, this verse. Isaiah 6 verse 10, quoted in John 12, 41. What did they say about John 12, 41? It's very interesting what they said about it. Nothing. Nothing. I'll say something about it. Jesus is Jehovah. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. And then I'll take you to Acts 28. The end of Acts 28, and you'll see Paul quoting this passage, and he attributes it to the Holy Spirit. What do I make of it? The triune God revealed through Isaiah. That's what I see, and I worship. I don't understand. I'm not the explainer of all mysteries, neither on the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, nor on the triune God. I don't set out to explain all mysteries, but I do want to preach this. Jesus Christ is God, my friend. And you are accountable and responsible for what you do with him. If you perish, it's because you would not. If you are to be saved by him, it's because God gave you the grace and the power to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You say these two are mutually contradictory. I've said this over and over. Let them say what they like about me. Of course, they seem mutually contradictory. But here they are in Scripture. I don't try and reconcile them. I preach them. Are you listening to me, my friend? You are responsible. Turn to the Lord now. And your times are not in your power. Your heart is in the hand of God. So if the Lord is speaking to you now, my counsel to you, my advice, my urging, my pleading with you is, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.